Well, hello, church. I want to continue this afternoon in our study in the book of Psalms. As said in our emails and our previous videos, we're having to change our delivery mode a little bit because of the virus. But we can continue our Bible studies and our series, and I want to do that this afternoon. So if you're following along in the video and you want to take your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 119, verse 25. And in this passage, David talks about some difficult times in his life, pretty appropriate for the things we're dealing with right now in society. In our passage this evening, David had come to a time in his life when there was something that overwhelmed him, and it was difficult for him. And we find that beginning in verse 25, his heart was discouraged, and he uses some interesting phrases to describe that. Look at verse 25. It says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." And when you see in the Bible someone talking about being in the dust or their soul clinging to the dust, it usually has a reference to being at a low spot in life, even death. And perhaps two applications could be made for David here. One, he was in a state of depression, if you will. Now you say, well, a Christian shouldn't be in a state of depression. It's a lack of faith. Well, that might be so, but even after we're saved, we deal with difficulties in life that sometimes do depress us and sometimes make life difficult, and so we have to come to God. And what David is most likely saying here is there was something in life that weighed heavy on his heart that he walked around thinking about and maybe woke up in the middle of the night thinking about, as often happens to us when the pressures of life come on us. And he said, it's as if I was in the dust of the earth. It's as if this thing weighed me down. And then I begin to think about what maybe some of those situations in life might have been, and if you know the life of David, you might understand some of these. At one point in his life, he was on the run from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. He's sleeping in caves and he's sleeping outside. And maybe he likened that to being in the dust. Maybe it was the time in his sin with Bathsheba, because in that time, when you read Psalm 51, before he confessed, David said the sin weighed on him and it was like his bones were broken. Maybe it was the death of the baby that was born to him in Bathsheba and the loss of a child. Certainly can't imagine a greater tragedy in life than to lose a baby or lose a loved one. And David had that in his life. Maybe it was a time of Absalom's rebellion. David loved his son and his son tried to kill him and take the kingdom from him. Maybe any of those circumstances in life would make any of us feel like we were in the dust. And perhaps that was David's reason for saying that. Another possibility would be a physical sickness. We speak of death sometimes as being in the dust. Perhaps David came to a point in his life when he thought he was going to die. And again, we could connect it to a sickness or Saul chasing him around or a battle or facing the enemy. Perhaps David's heart was heavy. So he cries out here. He says, "I felt like I was in the dust, clinging to the dust." And what an appropriate application for us today. In this time of uncertainty, we're in uncharted territories as far as this virus goes and how it's changed our lives and the economy. And it would be easy. It would be easy to be anxious and it would be easy to be uncertain. But we know that we serve a great God, and there's nothing that's going to come in life that God can't carry us through or help us through. And so David, even though he didn't know how these things would work out in his life and how long those difficulties will last, neither do we know how long the challenges in this life will last. We don't know how bad things will get or how soon it'll recover and how soon life will go back to what we consider a normal way of life. David had those same concerns, and he said it was as if I was in the dust. Now, his response to those feelings of anxiety and his response to maybe that depression in his life was to call out to God in God's word. He said again in verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust." And then he said, "Lord, revive me according to your word." What David was saying is lift me up from this time of struggle. Lift me up from this time of anxiety and this time of depression. He was asking God basically to encourage his heart. Now, as we discussed Sunday morning, we know that no matter what comes in this life, whether it be sickness or a pandemic or a war or natural disasters, God is sovereign over all those things. And we know that God according to Romans 8, has an eternal plan for our lives, and that nothing can alter those plans. When we read the Bible, it's the same God that we serve today, who in the Old Testament stopped plagues and sent relief to his people, same God who hears the prayers of his people. So as David prayed, God, encourage me in your word, encourage me in what I know about you, we can pray the same and we can do the same as we read the Bible and know that our God is greater than any of these things in the world that might make us anxious or might make us afraid. I think about God's word and two things that happens when we read God's word. And the first is this. Number one, we are comforted when we read God's word. We're comforted. When I hear preaching on the radio or I sit down and I read the Bible, no matter how troubled I might be in the moment, no matter how difficult or stressed life might be, when I read God's word, it like melts away and it encourages me and it takes my mind from those things that might trouble me and sets them on the things above that encourage my heart. And I'll tell you, to look at this life and look at the difficulties of life that David might have been facing or that we might face today, they're nothing in light of eternity, and they are nothing in light of knowing God who has saved us and loved us. I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Apostle Paul said this, "No temptation has overtaken us or overtaken you except such as is common to man." In other words, there's nothing that's going to happen to us, nothing that we're going to encounter in life that's not common to all of humanity. But listen to what he says here, "But God is faithful." God's faithful in all that. Doesn't matter what it is. "Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation or the trial, will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So no matter what comes at us in this life, whether it be sickness or famine or pestilence or war or disaster, God is greater than those things, and God will never allow us to enter into a situation that we can't bear if we trust Him. Then I think of the second thing God's word does for us. God's word informs us. Not only does it comfort us, but it informs us. One of the things that being informed does is it relieves fear. Being informed relieves anxiety. In other words, when you run into a situation and you have some knowledge of how the situation is going to go, or you have some knowledge of how it's going to work out, it takes some of the anxiety out of it. Take some of the uncertainty out of it because you're in the know. You are informed. I would suggest to you, as a born-again child of God, you are informed in God's word, and we are informed in God's word. The world will be anxious because it doesn't know what's going to happen. The world will be afraid because it doesn't know what's going to happen. Now, we may not know all the details about how every little thing's going to work out, but we know from God's word how this whole thing ends. Let me give you an example of how we are informed about world events. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and in the book of Luke, Luke records this in Luke 21, verses 8 to 11, and Luke was talking about the end times and the tribulation and when the tribulation begins. And listen to what Luke said beginning in Luke 21, verse 8. He's recording Jesus. Jesus said this, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Listen to this. "Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." What Jesus was saying is these things will take place in the tribulation, and they'll take place as giving birth, the Bible describes. But as we know in the analogy of birth pangs, before a woman reaches the point where she gives birth, there are months of working up to the birth. There are months of the baby growing, and then as you get closer, maybe the discomfort and the pain begins, and then it culminates in the birth of the child. Jesus is saying that the end of the age is going to be the same way. There are going to be some catastrophic things that take place in the tribulation. Jesus said, as we near the tribulation, as the church age comes to its conclusion, as it draws to its end, these things will begin to happen as precursors to what will happen in the tribulation. So we should not be surprised We shouldn't be shocked or fearful about difficulties that come in this life. Natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, pandemics, wars. These things are simply endemic of what's coming in the tribulation. They're simply signs of things that will come and be multiplied worse in the tribulation. And yet again, being informed, we have peace because we know God, our God, is in control of all those things, and it's part of his plan. So be encouraged as David was. Be encouraged in God's word. Another thing I would point out to you is David in his discouragement, David in his anxiety, and maybe in his depression. Notice that he took this thing to God, which is what we ought to do. Look at verse 26 with me in your Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 26, David said, "I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." David said, I have declared my ways, meaning he prayed and he expressed his concerns. He confessed to God how he felt, and he confessed to God the state of his heart. He asked God to consider his fears and to help him. He asked God to consider his anxiety and to comfort him. I would suggest to you today that every saved man and woman, boy and girl, young person who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, we can declare our ways to God. We can go to him with our doubts and be honest about it. We can go to God with our concerns and be honest about it. Let me assure you that even though we're saved and we're supposed to have all faith, and we do, we trust Jesus, but we're also human, and it's easy for us to be afraid. It's easy for us to be discouraged. It's easy for us to be anxious. And so what David gives us by way of example here is he went to God and he said, "Lord, the situation, whatever it was," he said, I'm overwhelmed by it. And he said, "God, I need your help. I need you to lift me up. I need you to help me understand, help me be the man of faith that I'm supposed to be." Let me give you an example that's always encouraged my heart from the Bible. It's one that I use often. Jesus in Mark chapter 9 was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had gone up there, the Transfiguration had happened, and he comes down off the mountain. And when he does, the remainder of the disciples down there were dealing with a father who had a son who was demon-possessed. And those disciples could not cast the demon out of the boy, though they tried, and the Pharisees were there belittling them. And so when Jesus came down off the mountain, he was immediately drawn into this situation with his dad and with his boy and the Pharisees and his disciples, why they couldn't cast his demon out. And the dad comes forward, and Jesus asked the father, listen to this in Mark chapter 9, verse 21. So Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" In other words, how long has the boy been this way? And he, the father, said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Do you hear what the dad said there? He said, "My son, whom he loved," he said, "my boy has been like this from small. The demon cast him into the fire, cast him into water, and destroys him." We can only imagine the difficulty in this dad's life of watching over his son, trying to work and earn a living for his family and make sure that his son wasn't destroyed. And he says to Jesus there in verse 22, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, what does that sound like? When you first hear that, you say, "Well, that guy just needs faith." Well, better be careful, because that guy dealt with stuff many of us will never deal with. But he said to Jesus, "If you can help us, have compassion." And Jesus' response is interesting. Listen to verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." So Jesus said to him, "You just have to have faith." Now listen to dad's answer. I love it. Verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Really, that's what David's saying here. David's saying to God, "Lord, I'm like in the dust. But I'm confessing my state to you. You know my state." And he's saying, "God, I need your help. You know, I am a man of weakness, and I have faith, but I need more faith." I would suggest the same would be for you and I today. We have faith, but sometimes our faith is not as strong as it should be. Sometimes our faith is not all that it should be. And I think sometimes we need to go to God and say, "God, I believe you. Help my unbelief. God, I believe that you can control viruses, and you can control earthquakes, and you can control natural disasters. And God, I believe you can give me a job. You can protect my job. God, I believe you can be Lord of my finances. I believe you can be Lord of my health." But God, help my unbelief. Help me when I struggle, when it's difficult. So David was encouraged and strengthened because he prayed. He was filled with encouragement because he went to God and God answered him. Can I encourage you today that when we're troubled and when we're distressed, that's the first place we ought to go? That's the first place we ought to go is to God. And God will hear us and God will help us. You say, well, you know, God doesn't always do what I ask him to do. Well, no, we'll talk about that in a moment. God is a lot smarter than we are. And sometimes we pray for things we don't need. Sometimes we pray for things that are quite honestly not in accord with God's will. We have to ask for wisdom to know how to pray. But I can assure you one thing. The Bible says God always hears us. You say, well, I don't know if God hears me because I don't always see a reaction right away, or I don't always get what I want. No, listen, God always hears us, especially if you're a child of God. He always hears you. Listen to a couple of verses that promise that God always hears us. In 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Listen to that. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, if you're born again, the eyes of the Lord are always on the righteous, and you're righteous in Jesus Christ, and his ears are always open to the prayers of those who belong to him. You have this promise, and we have this promise. If we're feeling like David and we're in the dust and we're feeling like we just can't go on and we go to God in prayer, be encouraged because he hears you. Be encouraged because he's listening. Listen to what 1 John 5 says. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence. Confidence. That's what you need when you're having anxiety and fear. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. God always hears our prayers. Now, let's deal with the reality of it. You say, well, if God always hears my prayers and I'm afraid, and I'm afraid of the situation and I'm anxious, what do I do? Well, you pray. You say, well, you know, God doesn't always answer me right away. Let me tell you, there are three answers that God always gives us. And you've heard this before. Three answers. The first answer is sometimes God says no. That's not the one we like. But sometimes we pray for things that are outside of God's will. Sometimes we pray for things that God knows are not best for us. And so God says no, just like any loving father would. Sometimes your children may come to you and they may ask for something, or your grandchildren may come to you and they ask for something. And you know, because you're older and wiser and you have a broader perspective of life, you know more than they do that thing is not good for them. And so you tell them no. Now, because you tell them no doesn't mean that you don't love them. The fact that you tell them no means that you do love them. Listen, a parent who never says no to their child will ruin them. And God knows what's best for us. And God sometimes will simply say no because we're not asking for the right things. Secondly, sometimes God will say, wait. Sometimes the thing that we ask for is okay. And sometimes the thing that we ask for, God will give us, but just not right now. Sometimes God knows that the thing we're asking for is not best for us at the moment. But eventually he provides and gives what we ask in his timing and in his way. And then thirdly, the one that we all like. Sometimes we'll pray and God will say yes. In my life, I have experienced times when I've prayed about a matter and I see the answer right away. I mean, within just a short period of time, the very thing that I prayed over, boom, it falls out in front of me. God does it. I have prayed specifically about things before. God, this matter is heavy. This matter is important to me. God, this thing is a need. God, would you provide it? And then in that week, I'll get a phone call or an email, or I'll run into somebody and the answer unfolds like just orchestrated by God. Isn't it a blessing? And isn't it a wonderful thing when God does that? David is praying here for God to intervene in whatever the situation was in his life. Now, I don't know how fast God intervened, and I don't know what God did for David, but we know when we read his life that he wasn't in depression all the time. So whatever the matter was, whatever the issue was, God dealt with it. Now, let me say one more thing about knowing God's word and being able to pray. The key to prayer, as John told us in 1 John 5, is to pray in accord with God's will. If we pray in accord with God's will, then we know we're going to get what we ask for because God's already said it's his will that it happen. How do we know how to pray in accord with God's will? Well, you read the Bible. How do we know what God's will is? You read the Bible. Now, we don't know all the time and every little circumstance of life if God's will for us to have this thing or to have that thing, and that's why we pray. And that's why we are willing when we pray. If God says no, then we take it from a loving Heavenly Father. Or if he says not this thing, but this thing, you pray over a job. You pray over what school you should go to. You pray over a mate, somebody you're going to marry. You pray over various decisions in my life. Should I buy this house? Should I buy that house? Should I buy a new car? Should I do this? Should I do that? We should pray over all those things and say, and God will make those things clear. But we pray over those things and we pray over life in accordance with God's will, in accordance with what his word says. And so if you want a stronger prayer life, you want a more powerful prayer life, know what God's word says and pray according to his word. Now, the last thing I want to show you is David said, when I'm weak, God, I need you to make me strong. God, when I'm weak and when I'm struggling, I need you to make me strong. Now, let's just all be honest. We're saved. If you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved forever. But the vicissitudes of life, the up and down, sometimes cause a struggle. And we hear it, the old gospel songs of when I'm on the mountain and when I'm on the valley. When we're in the valley of life, when something's difficult, it's hard to be chipper and it's hard to sing, praises, and it's hard to be happy and walk around with a smile on your face when it feels like you're carrying the weight of the world. David said, I'm in the dust. So what he says here is when I'm weak, I need you to make me strong, Lord. When I'm weak, I need you to be my strength. I need you to be the one to lift me up. Listen to what he says in verses 27 and 28. He says, make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Now listen to this. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Man, that's a good thing, a good prayer. He said, my soul melts from heaviness. A child of God can be weighed down. Read the book of Job. Job was a righteous man. God bragged on Job. But man, Job lost everything. He lost all of his children. All of them died. He lost his wealth. He lost his home. He lost everything. He was under a heavy load, and yet Job trusted God, and God was his strength, and God strengthened him. I would say to you in closing, no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how heavy it gets, David said, my soul's in the dust. I feel like I'm in the dust. I feel like I'm dying. I feel like this weight is so heavy that I can't carry on. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe there are times in your life, maybe you feel that way right now with all the things going on with this virus and worried about a job and worried about paying the bills and worried about all those things. Maybe it feels like this heavy weight on you. I'm here to encourage you and tell you, based on God's word, you can be strengthened by the Lord. He'll strengthen you. You got to pray. You got to trust him. Listen, I said this Sunday morning, we have to be smart. We have to use the brains God gave us. We have to look at life and we have to make good decisions. You have to make good decisions based on what you know about God's word and based about on information that you have. And you make wise decisions and you make prayerful decisions. But at the end of the day, when your heart melts and when you feel like, God, I just don't know what to do, you throw yourself on his mercy and God will strengthen you. David said that, strengthen me according to your word. Again, where do you find that strength from? I said it at the beginning. Where do we find peace in our heart for the things going on in life? You read this book. You read God's word. You read what God did for other people. You read what God did through the life of Israel. You read what God did for the disciples and for those men and women in the New Testament. And you read his promises. And God will never fail. And he'll strengthen you. I pray today in this Bible study as we continue through the book of Psalms that God's word has blessed you. And I pray for you daily. May God bless you.